In the last session, we looked at making decisions that matter and ownership versus buy-in. In this session, we're going to look at fast action tip number 6 for leading from the middle more effectively, how to deal with poor leadership. So take a moment right now and download the worksheet for this session and follow along as we move forward. I've served with some remarkable leaders in several organizations, and I've served with some not so remarkable leaders. And since I'm passionate about intentional growth, I get easily frustrated by unproductive or poor leadership and the resulting wasted potential within organizations. To be totally transparent, I've made many mistakes in leadership, and there were numerous times that my teams endured countless mistakes along my leadership journey. My teams have been more than patient, even gracious, as I've grown to lead more effectively. And so whether you've been a member of one of my teams or you find yourself trapped in this unfortunate situation, here are 4 ways to deal with a poor leader. What do you do when you serve or serve with a poor leader? When it comes to dealing with a poor leader, it's important to, number 1, know your purpose. Now, this is a non-negotiable. If you only get one, this is the one you're going to want to get. Know your purpose and live it with abandon every single day. There is no substitute for knowing what you can do that no one else in the world can do like you can. It's the only way that you can continue to perform at a high level when you're faced with huge challenges. No amount of money, no job title, no employment perk, no office environment is going to motivate you more in tough times than doing what you love and loving what you do. And when you're unquestionably living out your calling, what you were made to do, what you were born to do, no bad leader can derail that. In the Simple Leadership Masterclass, we guide you through several tools that we use with leaders for finding and living out your purpose. So if you want more information about the Simple Leadership Masterclass, use the link on this page. When you know your purpose and you are intentionally living it out, poor leadership around you becomes more manageable. The second way to deal with poor leadership is surround yourself with positive, talented people. The reason is positive, talented people appreciate leadership and influence in their lives, especially positive leadership and influence. Your experiences with them will be energizing rather than draining. I have a shelf in my office that's filled with encouraging notes and simple gifts from team members and supporters over the years. And every couple of months, I'll grab a handful of those notes and I'll flip through them, reading the notes that have been sent to me over the years. It's not long before I'm reminded why I do what I do. It's for all of these great people who have embraced their work with passion and who are growing intentionally, personally, and professionally. Critics will drain every ounce of creative energy out of you, so leave them alone. Spend as little time with them and around them as possible, and pour your life into positive, growing people. The third way to deal with a poor leader is never criticize the leader. You don't need to complain about the situation to your team or to anyone else. And this is a difficult one to live out because we want to defend ourselves. We want to make sure that people around us know that what we're doing is different than what they're doing. So this is a huge challenge for most of us. But criticism and complaints usually derail any hope of progress in the future, now and later. And those complaints often come back to bite you. Criticism and criticizing the leader never helps. And then the fourth way to deal with a poor leader is to focus on gratitude. Years ago, when I experienced a poor leader above me, I noticed that my frustration level would build or grow when I was around them. And this made it difficult for me to have productive interactions and conversations with them. It made it difficult to make progress on projects when this leader was around. So I made a conscious decision to begin thinking about them with genuine gratitude. I focused on things that I appreciated about them. Yeah, it was difficult at first, but let's be honest, nearly everyone has something or some characteristic or contribution for which we could be grateful. When we focus on working together in areas where we align with the leader, we can leave the other areas alone for now. We can ignore them. And then when you get some momentum in the relationship, it'll be easier to tackle the more challenging areas. When I began approaching relationships with toxic leaders with this kind of intentionality, my perspective, my energy, my focus, and my motivation improved dramatically. If you're going to deal effectively with a poor leader, and work together effectively in an environment of poor leadership. You must know your purpose, surround yourself with positive, talented people, never criticize the leader, and focus on gratitude. Now let's shift gears for just a minute, and I want to share with you four things that you can learn from a poor leader. The question that we might ask is, what good can come from serving a poor leader? So here are things that I've learned from poor leaders in my own leadership journey. The first is, you can learn to follow first. Now, I enjoy leading. In fact, I like leading more than I like following at times. Following bores me, and that's okay. Yet effective leaders have learned to follow well. Trust me, following is not easy for a pioneer, for a maverick, particularly when your leader is incompetent, inattentive, or apathetic. Yet there have been seasons of my life and my career when my only choice was to follow the unproductive demands of a toxic leader. And following that leader made me a better leader. So number one, learn to follow first. Number two, care for the team. See, poor leaders have provided great opportunities for me to show authentic care and support for my team that's working in that environment. My most memorable career moments are regular one-on-one meetings with my team members, helping them to develop personally and professionally through challenges and pain. We simply cannot grow and lead with purpose, with intentionality, if we're not actively caring for others. So focus your energy, your care on your team, rather than wasting it on worry and frustration over your poor leader. Then number three, value progress. There are times when toxic leadership affects the productivity and the performance of the team, when your leader is an obstacle to your efforts. And because I always want to be improving and leading my team to perform more effectively and more efficiently, I've learned to value and celebrate progress and focus on making significant improvements where the team does have freedom. I remember years ago when I was early in my career, I was working in higher ed, leading a team, and it was an incredibly chaotic time. There was so much work to do and so much progress needed to be made. And so I was pushing really hard. And another leader saw the work that we were doing and saw the progress that we were making. And they also saw that it was still frustrating for me because I didn't feel like we were moving far enough and fast enough. And they took me aside and they said, if you can learn to be okay with other people's 60%, to them, it probably feels like they're 100%. He said, your 60% to them probably feels like they're 100% or more. What he was encouraging me to do was to focus on progress. He said, when you do, you'll encourage and motivate your team members to higher levels of performance and productivity, even in an environment of toxic leadership. And then number four, give it time. In his book, Necessary Endings, Henry Cloud said, there may come a time when the behavior of a poor leader is unsustainable and part of you is dying. And that's when the relationship needs to end. And I found that to be true in my career experience. Here's what's interesting. In every instance of a poor leadership in my career, I didn't have to manipulate the situation or get in a hurry for that relationship to end. It was only a matter of time before the toxic leader was moved or I was moved. And every time I ended up in a better position for me, for my family, and for developing a new team. These four things you can learn from poor leaders will make you a better leader and will prepare you to evaluate your leadership. And I want to take a moment to talk about legacy leadership. When we talk about legacy, what we're referring to is a leader who's been in a position for a long period of time. Maybe that leader's been there much longer than you. The leader may have been the founding partner. And I want to talk about these legacy leaders for just a moment. And there are two ways that this can help you. It can help you know how to effectively work with an unmotivated legacy leader, and it can help you to be more aware of the challenge of legacy leadership as you approach the twilight years of your career. First of all, it's important that we understand that longevity is not leadership. Leadership is leadership, and longevity is longevity. Now, don't misunderstand. I love hearing about leaders who launch organizations and then serve them for 20 or 30 or 40 years. I mean, I'd love to do that with our own organization. But tenure does not make great leaders. One of my best friends is one of the most loyal people that I know, and he'll likely serve his current organization for the rest of his life. And I've learned so much about consistency and contentment through our friendship. His longevity happens to be good leadership. My father has been serving in the same organization for more than 30 years, and as a legacy leader, he's been a great leader. Organizations and teams can benefit significantly from a leader who communicates and implements bold, compelling vision through the changing seasons over a long period of time. And Sarah and I are looking forward to investing the most fulfilling and productive years of our lives with our Guidestone team. And yet I've learned that although some executives man the helm of an organization for a long period of time, they are not always leading. So here are two things that we can learn about legacy leadership. Number one is self-preservation. A leader of a large organization once said to me, "My goal here is to survive the presidency." And my immediate thought in the meeting when he said that was, how in the world is that leadership? It sounded to me more like self-preservation than it did any leadership that I'd ever experienced in a healthy way. And self-preservation is a fatally flawed foundation for leadership. At its core, leadership involves change. If there is no change, there is no leadership. Otherwise, what are we leading people to do? To stay the same? And those leading change must embrace the fact that their position will often be in jeopardy. Leaders care less about position and more about vision. They care less about what got them here and more about what will get them and the team and the organization there. They care less about self-promotion and more about developing people. Put simply, those not leading change are not leading. Longevity does not equal leadership. And if you've been leading long, you've likely experienced this and figured this out. The second thing we can learn about legacy leadership is the importance of short-term roles. Short-term leadership stints are a necessary part of organizational leadership. And these unintended interim roles are inherently valuable, and they can include things like launching an organization or an initiative, introducing new vision, or facilitating health and growth, guiding an organization or a team through transition, leading through some kind of challenging time within an organization, or rebuilding or restructuring. When the leader's work is done, then they move on. And at some point, you may have served in a role like this, a short-term leadership role, maybe even an unplanned temporary position. I've been a short-term leader, even though I arrived intending to remain long-term. Short-term leadership can be a bittersweet experience. You plan to spend the rest of your career within an organization building something great together, but that was before you developed a team of leaders and then you worked yourself out of a job. See, this unplanned temporary position can also be painful. Maybe you've experienced the dysfunction of a poor leader. Maybe you've had a colleague betray your trust. Maybe you've poured hundreds of hours into developing your team members only to have them walk away from the vision or walk away from the organization. Regardless of the reason, short-term leadership is an essential part of organizational growth. And when a leader fulfills their purpose within an organization, many times the best thing they can do, almost always the best thing that they can do, is to leave. Remember, even when you're dealing with poor leadership, you don't have to get it perfect. You just need to take the next step. So if you haven't already, take a moment right now to download the worksheet on this page for this session and complete the action steps. In this session, we looked at how to deal with poor leadership and how it impacts your leadership development. In the next session, we're going to look at trust and what to do when someone abuses your trust. So I'll see you in the next session.